Amen. Welcome everyone to Arise Family Church, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We started a series last week called Talk to the Rock. Amen. How to remove your mountains. How to get those nasty mountains out of the way. Those obstacles. Amen. So we started out by saying, and sharing the story about Moses. Moses was instructed by the Lord to speak to the rock because there was no water in the wilderness, you know, and the children of Israel were complaining. We need water for us. We need water for our flocks. We're thirsty. And so he went to the Lord, and the Lord said, I want you to speak to the rock, and I will bring the water out and provide and supply for everyone. And so he got to the rock, and it wasn't a good day. It wasn't one of his best days. It was kind of a frustrating day. It may have been a bad week or a bad month. Who knows? I mean, you read that scripture of Numbers chapter 20, and I even go back a few chapters, and it just seems like the people are whining and complaining over and over and over and over and over again. And so this was his statement. Listen to me, you rebels. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? You know, and then he beat the rock. And he beat it a couple times. And water gushed out. And there was a river in it. It supplied and provided for everybody. And then God called Moses and Aaron to himself and said, Y'all made a mistake, right? God called their actions unbelief and rebellion. Unbelief and rebellion. Number one, you didn't believe me. Number two, you rebelled against what I said. And because of this, you are not going to be able to enter the promised land. He told Moses, you won't be able to enter in. You will not be able to lead these people into the promised land. You are going to die on this side of the river. You will only be able to look over and see, but you will not be able to enter in. So that's sad. But God said that they didn't sanctify or set God apart in the eyes of the people as their source and as their provider. You see, the people of Israel were delivered out of Egypt, and they were heading into the promised land. So they were like what we've been talking about this year. They're experiencing a new thing, and God is taking them into new territory. A new thing, new territory. And they were supposed to, Moses and Aaron were supposed to model God's kingdom way of doing things as they were on their way to take their new territory. And they didn't. They didn't. They were supposed to model that you need to use your words to create your future. You need to use your words to make things happen. You need to talk to the rock. You need to talk to the rock. You need to talk to the obstacles. You need to speak words to make things change. And they didn't do that. And so this is what we've been talking about. We've been going through Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, God says, listen, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing, and I'm creating roads in your wilderness and rivers in your desert. A new thing. And we're going to be experiencing new things. And it's not new bad things, it's new good things, right? It's roads in the wilderness. And it's water, it's rivers in our desert. He says, I'm planning and I want to do new things in your life. He's always wanting to do new things in our life. I mean, it's not that that's just for this year. He always wants to do new things. Why? Because he's always got something better for us. And so we talked about it. And I said, our best days are ahead of us, not behind us. And they're always ahead of us because it's always supposed to get better. Amen. It doesn't matter how good it's been. He's always got something better for us. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So it doesn't matter. The life that we've enjoyed is always an abundant life. There's always something better. There's always something more for us. Amen. Hallelujah. And so Joshua 3 says that we are to follow God to know which way to go. Why do we need to do that? Why is that important to follow him to know which way to go? Because, he said, we have not gone this way before. In other words, we are very unfamiliar in this new territory because it's literally new territory. We need to follow him so we know where to go. Amen? So winning and success in life demands action. That was our last series. But newness of life and taking new territory doesn't just happen by wishing or by accident. It requires three things. And we've been talking about these three things over the last three series. Number one, it requires God. And number two, it requires his direction. And we talked about the phrase, lift up your eyes, look and see what God sees so we can enjoy what he has for us. We must see what he has for us. We must see this newness of life. We must see this new territory. We must see something new in order to experience something new. And then number three, it requires action. So to experience the new things and take new territory in our lives, it will require new thoughts and new actions. And so we talked about the thoughts and the actions the last couple series. And the end of our last series called Sweat Equity. The last statement we made was speaking the word of God is the first and number one way to act on the word. And so that's what has brought us into this series, Talk to the Rock, because learning to use our words for us, learning God's kingdom way of doing things, is going to help us take our new territory and enjoy this newness of life that God has for us. Amen? So it's not just about wishing. It's not just about desiring. It's not just about wanting something better. He says there is a way to get it. There's a way to work together with him. There is a way to take action. And so there are the number one action is our words. And from that point, there's a being led by the Spirit that enables us and he gives us direction in regards to other actions that we need to take that our words will work with, or that we will work with our words. So Jesus said this. He said in Mark chapter 4, he said that I want you to know the mystery of the kingdom. He says the divine secrets and the inside information. So he said, I've got some secrets and I've got some inside information for you in regards to how the kingdom operates. And verse 14 is that key. It says, he said, the sower sows words. The sower sows words. So our words are seed. Whatever we're saying, we're planting seeds. Our words are seeds. Whatever we're saying, we are planting seeds. It's not just selective. Well, I can say whatever I want to say, but I can only be selective about what I want to sow. No. Everything we say is sowing. Everything we say is seed. Our results are a product of our words. Our life today is a product of our words. If we don't like what we have, we need to check up on what we've been saying. Hallelujah. All we've got to do is look in the mirror and go, do I like what I have? Do I like everything that I have that's going on in my life? And if there's something in our life that we don't like, we need to check up on our words. What have we been saying? What have we been saying? But I said again, it's not enough just to not say the wrong things. Well, you look in the mirror and go, okay, well, I'm not satisfied with everything. What have I been saying? Well, I've endeavored not to say the wrong things. I've endeavored to guard my mouth in regards to wrong or bad confessions. So why did this still happen to me? Why am I still not completely satisfied? And I said, this is the other thing. It's not enough just to not say the wrong thing, because we can also lose by default by not saying the right thing. We can get so focused on not saying the wrong thing that we actually forget to talk to the rock. You know, the mountain's there. And we just forgot, we haven't talked to it. We've stepped back and we've guarded our mouths, so we're not talking mountains. We're not creating new mountains. We're guarding our confession. It's not a bad confession, but we forgot to take action. Number one, and first action is speaking words. Speaking the word of God. And so we haven't been speaking what we want, if we haven't been speaking and declaring and calling these things that be not as though they were, all of a sudden we find ourselves in a place where we can lose by default. And losing by default is no fun. You can have a winning season. You've won all your games, and if you just didn't show up to one game, you lose. I mean, just not showing up. It doesn't mean you played bad. It doesn't mean that you got tired. It doesn't mean you got a whole bunch of injuries. It doesn't mean anything where there might be a reason why you lost. It just didn't show up. If we don't show up, we lose by default. Why? Because the devil's faithful. He shows up all the time. He's there all the time. I remember Brother Hagin talking about... there was this fear because of his condition, this blood condition and a heart condition, and he was at death's door numerous times, and he actually died three times. When you hear his story about going to hell, he died three times. I went to hell three times, and the story is he was brought back, this voice spoke and sucked him back and went back into his body and got born again on the way back on the third time. But he says, every morning, he says, fear like a puppy will be sitting there at the edge of his bed. He'd wake up every morning and it would be there. It's the devil. Fear all the time. And then he said, one day after he's dealing with it and dealing with it and dealing with it and dealing with it, he said, years and years, and all of a sudden one morning, it's like it was gone. It's gone. That puppy, that fear, that thing that was there. When he went to bed at night, that thing that was there. When he woke up in the morning, that thing. The thing. You know what I'm talking about. It's the thing that badgers us. It's the thing that we think about. It's the thing that doesn't seem to leave us alone. The fear, the worry, the whatever it might be. The devil attacks us with. And we fight the good fight of faith. And we fight the good fight of faith. And we continue to attack that thing. And there's the good news. Because there's some stuff we've been dealing with we don't deal with anymore. Well, there's other stuff. You know what? Faithfully continue to fight the good fight of faith. And it too will disappear. It too will run off and never come back again. Hallelujah. So, It's not enough to just not say the wrong words or a bad confession, because we can lose by default by not saying the right things. And then we saw Jesus said in Mark 4:20, he says, we are to bear fruit. We're to be fruitful. We're to be productive. And verse 24 tells us one of the ways that that happens is it's based on the measure that we use. So the measure of hearing. But as I began to read that, and in line with what we've been talking about, I also began to see it's the measure of speaking. The measure of speaking will determine the measure of fruitfulness we have in our lives. Because it's not just the hearing, right? It's not just the hearers of the word that are blessed. It's the doers. And the number one way, the first way of doing the word is speaking. Amen? Say speaking. That's the number one way. So that there's no use in trying to figure out the second way until we're doing the one way, the first way. Get very proficient. Hallelujah. And so Jesus said, he says in John 9, he says, I must work the works of God. John chapter 10, the works that I do in my Father's name. John chapter 14, he said, our works are tied to our words. And Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 to 3, the abundant and good life is tied to God's word. And so our enjoying the abundant good life is tied to God's words in our mouth. Amen? Our works are tied to our words. In other words, if we want to work the works of God, we need to speak the words of God. If we want to experience the works of God in our life, we need to speak the word of God, because our works are tied to our words. So let's go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Verse 23. You know what? We can back up to verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. My cross reference says, have the God kind of faith. Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Have the faith of God. And then he begins to explain to us what that means. He didn't just say, have faith in God and see you later. Figure it out yourself. You know what? Just kind of, you know what? Sit around and chat and have a brain session storm or a, you know, talking and figure out what that means. No, he's not interested in us trying to figure out what that means. Right? That's why the whole statement, what would Jesus do? You know, on the one hand, it's a good statement to think, what would Jesus do? But the problem with that statement is too many people have sat down and kind of tried to figure out what they think he would do. And they come up with some ridiculous ideas. Well, I think he would do this, and I think he would do that. I think the basis of the question, or a better question, would be, what did Jesus do? Because what Jesus would do is what Jesus did. Right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So there's no use in trying to figure out and sit down and discuss what would Jesus do. No, just ask the question, what did Jesus do? And then you know what he would do. Amen? And then there's no, that would just throw out a whole bunch of stupid ideas. Well, I think he would do this. Yeah, but did he do that? Well, no. Then he wouldn't do it today. You know, so just throw that in the garbage. I mean, quit playing around with that idea. What would Jesus do? It's important that we understand. I mean, let's do what Jesus would do. Well, how do we know what he did? Go back to the book and find out what did Jesus do. Find out what Jesus did. Let's do that. And so here he says, have faith in God. And now he's going to tell us what that means. He's going to explain to us what that is. So we don't even have to theorize. We don't have to summarize. We don't have to pretend. We don't have to just come up with them. Well, what's the top 10 answers? I mean, no, they're just, what did Jesus say? And having faith in God, do you think he actually knows what he's talking about? Jesus knows what he's talking about. Yeah. So he said, verse 23, For assuredly, King James says, verily, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the things which he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Okay, very simple, very straightforward. Now, it's very interesting. The first thing Jesus said, he said, have faith in God. Then he goes on to say, whoever says. The first thing he said about having faith in God is whoever says. Whoever says. Whoever. Whoever means whoever. I mean, whoever then now, that includes everybody, right? There's nobody left out. Whoever is whoever. Whoever. Amen? That means me. Say whoever, that means me. Amen. That means me. That means me. That means you. Everybody. Whoever. So he's talking about us. We can all do it. Amen. We can all do it. This is for us. Have faith in God. I can do it. It's for me. Whoever says, and then he ends verse 23 saying, will have whatever he says. Whoever says will have whatever he says. So we went from a whoever, which means everybody, anybody, to whatever. And whatever is just as broad, right? Whatever. Whatever is whatever. Whatever means, listen, anything you say. Whatever. 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 There's no limit. There's no boundaries. There's no, whatever's not in a box. Whatever has just knocked the walls, knocked the box, knocked the lid, knocked the bottom out. Whatever, whatever, whoever and whatever. Whoever says will have whatever they say. Amen? Glory to God. That's what Jesus said. So let's continue on here. Whoever says will have whatever they say. Now, Brother Hagin talks about, he was at church one day, not during a service. He was just in the auditorium. And if I remember correctly, he talks about he was laying on the floor. He'd been praying for a while, and he just got quiet. And he was laying on the floor, and he put his hands behind his head, and he was just relaxing. And the Lord said to him, did you notice that in Mark 11:23, and he wasn't even reading it. I think he was actually in Ephesians. He was praying the Ephesians prayers and was just then praying in the Holy Ghost. And he's now just kind of just relaxing, hands behind his head. And the Lord said, did you notice that Mark 11:23 has the word say in it three times and the word believe once? He goes, sits up and goes, no, I didn't. And so he flips over there and turns to Mark 11:23. And he says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says will be done or come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Wow. Says three times. Believe once. And the Lord said to him, you will need to do three times as much teaching on the saying part than the believing part. Because my children are not primarily missing it in the believing part. Because they're believers. But it's the saying part that they're missing it in. Because he was teaching on some saying part, but nobody else was teaching it, and some people were kind of giving him flack because he was teaching it, because they didn't understand it. Why are you teaching on it? Why are you saying that? Why, what are you talking about? And so he was going to back off. And the Holy Ghost said, you are going to have to teach three times as much on the saying part than the believing part in order for people to get it, in order for it to register, in order for them to do it. Amen? It's the action part. It's the action part. Because the sad thing is we've been programmed to speak negatively. You know, we kick the car, kick the tires, you piece of junk, and we, you know, kick this and something's not working, we call it a piece of junk, and we're so used to talking bad. but to talk good, to sow seed. The sower sows words. To sow seed in order to bless and to benefit and to move us along the path of God in our life. It's very unfamiliar. It's very much against the grain. It's very much up the flow of the river. We're going upstream, right? Everyone else is going downstream, and we're going upstream. In order for us to get it, he says, you're going to have to teach it three times as much. So he began to pick it up. Amen? Three times more teaching on the speaking part than the believing part. So then he says, if you listen, whoever says will have whatever they say. And so it's important that we guard what we say, because here's the middle part says that what are we supposed to do? We're to say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things which we say will come to pass. We'll have what we say. So our mountain is just a reference to the obstacles in our life, right? The mountain is a reference to whatever's in our way, whatever's standing between us and our desires, whatever's standing between us and the will and the plan of God, whatever's standing between us and enjoying the good life, whatever's standing between us and experiencing our newness of life and taking new territory. It's that thing, that obstacle, that something that's in the way. So it doesn't necessarily have to be physical. It can be fear, worry. I don't know. Just a lack of confidence. It's just a lack of skill. It can be, you know, just a whole bunch of negative talk that's been spoken over us that we just happen to start believing. I'm, you know, too young. I'm too old. I'm too tall. I'm too short. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm the wrong color. I'm the right color. I don't know. Whatever it is. I mean, there's just so much stuff. Because the devil doesn't care. If he can just throw any obstacle in our way and we believe it, he doesn't care. He'll just keep throwing obstacles until all of a sudden we believe one. You know, not everyone's dealing with the same mountain. He's just throwing mountains out there. Matter of fact, he's just throwing speed bumps. And if we get tripped up over one speed bump, he just starts to make it bigger. He'll focus on it. But everything we step over, everything we walk over, everything that doesn't bother us, he doesn't try that anymore. But the little speed bump we trip over, he starts building on that, working on that until it's a mountain. Amen? We need to understand. The mountain is the obstacle that's in front of us. So, let's back the bus up here, because this is Mark 11:23 is kind of in the middle of an event. What started this event up? Let's go back to verse 12. And we're not even starting right at the beginning, but you know, just for the sake of time, we're going to just pick up verse 12. It says, well, you know what? Verse 11 says, "And Jesus went into Jerusalem, into the temple. So when he had looked around at all the things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So they walked into Jerusalem. He went into the temple and he just began to observe and look at what was going on. And he's praying and communicating with the Father and figuring out what's the next step. What's the plan? And then it got late. It's late. So they left Jerusalem and they went back to Bethany. So they left town. So they went to Bethany. The next morning, they turned around. Now the next day, when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. So they left Bethany and they're heading back to Jerusalem. Okay, so they're back this same trip. They're heading back to Jerusalem. And Jesus, seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. Why, it is breakfast time. Let's have a snack. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Now, sometimes we think, okay, well, it's not the tree's fault. Well, the thing is, figs actually, it produces two crops a year. There is an in-season fig, but there is an out-in-season fig, and it's not as good as the season fig, but it's not as much, but there are two crops. And so he came to get himself some pre-season figs. And the tree said, I got nothing for you, nothing. Quit looking here, I got nothing for you. Go somewhere else. Verse 14, in response, Jesus said to it. Jesus is talking to the tree, and he's responding to the tree. What did he say to the tree? He said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. He turned around and walked away. And his disciples heard it. So he didn't just kind of look at the tree and go, I know. He didn't just mumble to the tree. No, he said out loud, to where all 12 of the disciples could hear what he was saying. He said, no one's ever going to eat fruit of you again. He's talking to a tree. Turned around and walked away. What did that tree ever do to him? I mean, he's talking to the tree. This is what God said to Moses. He said, I want you to talk to the rock. I want you to speak to the stone. I mean, that's what we're talking about. In this series, talk to the rock. We need to talk to the tree. We need to talk to the rock. We need to talk to our car. We need to talk to the money. We need to talk to our bodies. We need to talk. That's what he's trying to get across. Talk. Amen? So he spoke to the tree and then left. And so they came to Jerusalem, and when Jesus went through the temple and so on and so forth. And now if we go to verse 19. So when evening was come, he went out of the city. So they spent the day in Jerusalem, the day in the temple. And that's when he threw the money changers, you know, tables over, and day's over. Let's go back to Bethany. So they left. They went back to Bethany. Now in the morning, so apparently in the morning, they're going back to Jerusalem again. These are going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And here they're going back to Jerusalem. This is 24 hours later. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter remembering, oh man, he talked to the tree. He's talking to the tree. He remembered it. He's talking to the tree. And Peter remembered, and he said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed, the fig tree that you talked to, the fig tree that you said, no one eat fruit of you ever again, the tree you talked to, it's withered away. It's withered away. It dried up from the roots. It literally withered away. It withered away in 24 hours. You talk to the tree, and here we go. Next day, it's dead. You talk to it, it's dead the next day. You know what goes through mind? You know what's going through Peter's mind. Give me a tree to talk to. Let me try this out. Give me a tree. Looking for a tree. I'm going to try this. Give me a tree to work on. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. So number one, he's letting them know that he did this by faith. did this by faith. He's not just talking for the sake of talking. He's not mad at the tree. He's functioning and operating by faith. Have faith in God. Not faith in ourselves. We can have faith in ourselves. We can have confidence in ourselves. We can trust ourselves. But our faith, our confidence, I mean, excuse-moi. Our faith is to be in God. Amen? Faith in Him. In Him. And then he begins to explain. For verily I say unto you, that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things which he says will be done or come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, that what things soever, or whatever things you desire, New King James says ask, whatever things you desire or ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So, what do we see here? We see here that our words are powerful. Our words are powerful. So, he talked to the tree, and then he tells us, whoever speak to the mountain. So I want you to understand, he's saying, it's the obstacle. It's the thing that's in your way. It's the thing that you don't desire. It's the thing that you don't want. Learn to talk, learn to say what you want. Amen? So, and these are inanimate objects. A tree. A mountain. Okay? So we can talk to these things. We can talk to these things. Hallelujah. So now let's go back and go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to come back here, but we're going to take a little bit of a detour here. Lay a little bit of a foundation. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Our words are powerful. So Deuteronomy 30, starting in verse 11. Says, but this commandment, or this word which I command you today, this is Moses speaking, is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. The word, the commandment I'm giving you, it's not too hard to understand. It's not too hard to get. It's not far off. This word, this command, the answer that I'm giving you, it's not too hard to figure out. It's not too mysterious. It's not way out there. You know, it's easy to understand. And it's not afar off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us? Why? That we may hear it and do it. Well, if someone would just go and get me the word of the Lord, if I just had the word of the Lord, I would do it. I would hear it and I would do it. If someone would just go, but I don't know. So I don't know. I'm not doing it. Why are you not doing anything? Why? Because I don't know. It's just I don't have a word. I need someone to go get me a word. Go get me a word from the Lord. Go get me a word from the Lord so I can hear it and do it. Here's the other side of the coin. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Well, if I could just go to heaven and get a word from Jesus. Or if someone could just go to Tulsa. Or if someone could just go to California, if someone could just go to here or there, you know, or a favorite minister. Texas. Let's just go to, let's go get a word from the Lord. Let's go get a word from the Lord. If I could just get a word from the Lord, if someone could just go get me a word from the Lord so I could hear it, I would do it. He said, no. Number one, it's not too mysterious. It's not too hard. It's easy to understand. And it's not too far away. It's not too far away. Matter of fact, verse 14 says, but the word is very near you. Matter of fact, it's in your mouth and it's in your heart that you may do it. You don't have to go anywhere to get the word of the Lord. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. It is so close. It's in your mouth and in your heart. So you can do it. He said, see, I have set before you. You understand? We're going to read this in the New Testament. And when we read it in the New Testament, you're gonna see it. But he's quoting. He's quoting here. He's quoting from Deuteronomy 30. See, I have set before you today life and death, or life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply or increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today, right now, that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days. Interesting. He didn't say, I will not prolong your days. He said, you will not prolong your days. How long our days are has to do with us. If you don't serve God and you don't speak his word, you are not going to prolong your days. In the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. So verse 19, he says, listen, I've called heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Interesting. This is an open book test. Amen? He said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Hallelujah. Life and death, blessing and cursing. And then he says, choose life. Choose life. Amen? Choose life. So that both you and your descendants, your children, your grandchildren, and so on, your descendants may live. Verse 20, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. I have set heaven and earth as witnesses against you. I've set you before you life and death, blessing and cursing. The choice is yours. You will never, we will never be able to say, I did not have a choice. Because literally heaven and earth are witnesses against us. And they'll go, nah, you know, that's not right. We were there when God said. We were there when the Creator said, I've set before you life and death, blessing or cursing. The choice is yours. So, he tells us to choose life. So in closing, let's just go ahead and find out this. How do we choose life? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. How do we choose life? How? You know, it's important because he says that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. How do we choose life? How do we choose blessing? How? How do we skip out on the death and the cursing? How? How do we make our choice? Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21 says this. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce or the increase of his lips, he shall be filled. He's talking about words. Verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life. He says, this is what I set before you. Death and life. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. How do you choose life? Well, he says, well, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Whatever, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So whatever you love to speak, whatever you love to talk, whatever we love to say is the results we'll get. We will eat that fruit. Why? Because words are seeds. Our results are a product of our words. And if we don't like what we have, we need to check up what we've been saying or what we haven't been saying, right? Because we can lose by default. So, it boils down to this. Choose life. How do we choose life? We choose to speak words of life. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's talking about words. Words. Our words produce our life. Our words produce our life. Our words produce the fruit in our life. Whatever we love to talk is the fruit we will receive. Whatever we love to talk is the seed that we sow, which is the harvest that's produced. So he's just saying, listen, you want to choose life? Choose life words. Choose life words. Choose to life, sow life seed. Choose to enjoy life harvest. Choose life by choosing life words. Life and death are in our tongues, meaning the words that we speak. This is how we choose life. It's not just putting a check mark in a box. I choose life. Yes. I choose blessing. Yes. Woo! No. That's not how it's done. It's choosing to speak, to choosing to talk words of life. Talk words of blessing. Amen? Hallelujah. This is how we choose life. Glory to God. And we'll pick up here next week.